Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance. Transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, the story of an earthquake and the effect it had on a little girl. It's written by Gil Dowd and features Stacey Harris, Parley Bear, and Virginia Gregg in Earthquake.
Beginning of another day in Anderson, California. Population approximately 20,000. Location a hot valley some 130 miles inland from the Pacific. On this morning, not one of its citizens knew that by nightfall, large portions of the city would be leveled by earthquake and gutted by the resultant fires. Most of them had forgotten or never learned that Anderson was built over a major fault line. This division in the earth's crust had seemingly lain dormant for hundreds of years. But deep beneath the surface, perhaps 10 miles, infinitesimal movements had been taking place as the two sides of this fracture moved against each other. Inevitably, an earthquake would occur. So the ordinary problems of people this morning were completely unimportant. Over at Central Hospital, for example, a young doctor was silently complimenting himself on the fact that he had saved the arm and probably the life of a young girl, an automobile accident victim.
And how are you this fine morning, Judith?
All right. When are my mommy and daddy coming to see me?
Right now, you just worry about getting well. Does your arm still hurt?
Yes. It's broken, isn't it?
It sure is. We almost had to order a new one for you. If we had, it might have been a boy's. That would have been awful, wouldn't it?
You can't go and order new arms, can you?
Oh, you'd be surprised what we can do.
My mommy and daddy are dead, aren't they?
Now, what makes you say that?
I dreamed about it. Somebody took them out of the car.
Well, sure, somebody took you out of the car, too, thank heaven.
Good morning, Judith. Saw your breakfast rolling up the hall. It looked good.
Oatmeal again?
No, it looked like something else this time. Rudy, can I talk to you outside?
Right away. I have to go see another patient, Judith. I'll be back in a little while.
If my mommy and daddy aren't dead, tell them to come and see me.
I'll see what I can do. Now, you rest and have a good breakfast, and I'll stop by and see you as soon as I get a chance. What are you going to do with a kid like that? She knows her mother and dad are dead.
So does her uncle. He's out front waiting for you.
What for? It's all in the coroner's hands now.
Judith is a sole heir to a $1 million business. Uncle is interested in her well-being.
Oh, one of those. Are we going to get married, Barbara?
Well, the thought's been running through my head about 18 hours a day.
What about the other hours?
Those are beyond my control because I have to sleep. And sometimes I dream. Why?
Well, if we do marry, it's likely we'll have children.
I hope so.
And if we do, don't let me build up a $1 million practice, will you?
Oh, don't be morbid, Rudy. The uncle's name is Mr. Post.
The mother's brother?
Yes.
Oh, Dr. Rudolph?
Yes. Mr. Post?
Yes. How's our little girl?
She's coming along fine, sir.
When will she be getting out?
That's hard to tell right now. It'll depend on her arm. It's in traction, you know.
Well, I don't know about those things. But I do know the poor little girl has been orphaned. Well, she's got a good home with me as long as she wants it. Could I see her and tell her that?
I'm afraid not. She's in no condition to hear that kind of news.
It's very important that I see her. When can I?
It'll be quite a while, Mr. Post, not before late this afternoon.
Well, I've heard the injuries aren't too serious. You must be conscious.
Quite a while, Mr. Post. I don't want her disturbed.
It was then 10 o'clock in the morning. Since our subject is an earthquake, it may be convenient to mention a few of the special terms in general use. An earthquake is due to some displacement within the earth. The region within which this disturbance occurs is usually called the seismic focus. A point on the surface, vertically above the center of the focus, is called the epicenter. The area within which the shock is perceptible without the use of instrumental aid is known as the disturbed area. Anderson was almost in the center of the disturbed area. The epicenter was just west of town, beneath a productive oil field. At 10:30 that morning at Central Hospital, more of the town's everyday problems were being faced.
The Sill woman hasn't come out of anesthetic yet, but her pulse and respiration are normal. Mr. Baker in Ward 2 is still complaining about abdominal pain.
Oh, he'll go on forever.
Mr. French's pulse has increased this morning.
Yes.
Dr. Rudolph?
Yes, ma'am.
They told me you were the one who was taking care of Judith. You know Judith Marks?
Oh, well, she's coming along fine.
I'm her aunt, on her father's side.
Oh. This is Nurse Chevy, who's been with me on the case.
How do you do?
It's nice to know you.
Doctor, is there anything I can do for the child? Of course, I can't replace her natural parents, but she's going to need somebody, and I want to offer everything I have.
There's nothing you can do right now, Mrs. Marks. I think she's in good hands.
But afterwards, I've fretted so about that. She has to have some place to go.
Her uncle was here earlier and offered his home.
Well, I'm sure that was generous of him. But after all, he's a widower. And how could he take care of a girl that age?
We have absolutely nothing to do with it. After Judith is released from here, it'll be up to you and Mr. Post to reach some agreement.
Yes. Well, could I see her? I know she's always been very fond of me.
I'm sorry, but she can't have visitors yet. Possibly later in the day.
Her uncle didn't see her?
No, she's seen no one but Dr. Rudolph and me, and I don't think she'll want to for a while.
She hasn't been told about her mother and father.
Oh, I assumed that she had. Do you think it's fair to hold back that news from the poor child?
For a little while longer, yes.
Well, I suppose you know best about these things, but I do think it would be a comfort if she knew there was someone waiting to take care of her.
Maybe if you could come back in the late afternoon.
And her uncle, he won't be allowed to see her either?
Mrs. Marks, when we feel that she is in condition to have visitors, she'll be allowed to have them. Now, we are pretty busy, if you wouldn't mind.
You hospital people are always so cold and without feeling. Good day.
Goodbye, Mrs. Marks.
Why, those shameless vultures. What a miserable time that little girl has in front of her.
Habeas corpus writs are going to be flying like birds. Maybe we shouldn't have any children.
I think it would be easier not to have $1 million.
I have made a thorough study of your brother's business record yesterday, Mrs. Marks. And it is so often the case in operations such as his. His actual cash assets can be largely written off due to debts outstanding and so on.
But his oil holdings?
Yes, clear title to 8 producing wells, worth well over $1 million.
Could they be sold?
Easily. But, Mrs. Marks, don't you think it would be in the girl's best interest to keep the holdings intact so she'll be assured an income for the rest of her life?
Oh, yes, of course. I only asked.
Now, in regard to your being appointed her legal guardian, that, of course, is a matter for the courts.
I'm sure they'll agree. What's that?
One of those sonic blasts, I suppose. Jet plane.
Oh, they're simply going to have to do something about them. It's frightening. Now, is there anything more to discuss, Mr. Lester?
No. I'll start putting your request into motion and be in touch with you. Thank you for coming in.
The first trembler of the Anderson earthquake, called the foreshock, occurred at 12 minutes past 1 that afternoon. This prologue was typical. So gentle, the earth movement so slight, that many of the citizens weren't aware of what it was. It hardly seemed to give warning of what was to come.
Rudy,
Did you hear that booming sound?
Yeah, there must be a thunderstorm up in the hills. I'm going in to see Judith. Would you mind coming along?
You going to tell her?
I think it'll be less hard on her than if one of her eager protectors does it. She half knows, anyway.
I'll go with you.
What was that funny noise?
Oh, you heard it too? We think it was thunder.
Hi, Judith.
Are you going to hurt me again?
No. I don't think we'll have to hurt you anymore.
Are my mommy and daddy out there?
They aren't coming, Judith.
They're dead, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
I knew it. I tried to cry, but I can't.
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong if you want to cry. Sometimes it's better if you do.
Car was going awful fast. I dream about it. Noise and all the glass.
You'll get over it. All of it.
You know, lots of little girls go through this same thing, and they're much worse off than you are. They don't have anybody to take care of them. But you have a nice aunt and a nice uncle to look after you.
Aunt Clara isn't nice, and I don't like her. She won't let me sit on the couch when I go to her house.
Oh, I'm sure it would be different if you lived with her.
I don't want to live with her. I don't like Uncle Bruce either. I'll stay here, and you can take care of me.
Well, you will stay here for quite a while longer.
I don't want to live with Aunt Clara or Uncle Bruce. I don't like them.
Just another day in Anderson. Individual problems based on tragedy, greed, and on more pleasant things. And deep within the earth, movement. Measured in the barest fractions of inches. Massive, grinding movement that would eliminate many of those problems, but pose many others. Return to romance in just a moment. Looking for a fight? Then find yourself a sparring partner, step into the ring and battle it out. Don't try to get things out of your system by driving with a vengeance. Take a tip from CBS Radio. Instead of fighting your neighbor on the highway, devote your energies to fighting against America's mounting accident rate. That's a battle everybody should fight, a battle you can be proud of winning. And now for the second act of Romance. At 2 o'clock that afternoon, the main department store in Anderson was overcrowded with customers. It was dollar day. At the Clinton Elementary School, an important series softball game was going on. Clinton was behind. In the office of Mr. Lester, one of the town's leading attorneys, the fight for control of a little girl's fortune was slowly gaining momentum.
I've made a few preliminary phone calls, Mrs. Marks, and I think advantage will be on your side. At least that's the way it appears now.
I'm certainly better qualified than a widowed man.
I think you should know Mr. Post has made inquiries, too.
Well, I expected that. But he never did a thing for Judith.
Yes, but the point is, if he continues, the case will go to court and could be a long, drawn-out affair.
Let him take it to court if that's the way he wants it. It's obvious that he wouldn't be a proper guardian for Judith.
All right, Mrs. Marks. I'll start drawing up the papers.
Thank you. Goodbye.
At 3 o'clock that afternoon, a new surfacing job on Carroll Road was finished, a needless completion since it would soon be buckled and ruptured. At the city hall, the city council finally reached agreement on a proposed rubbish collection plan. Farmers worked, traffic flowed. The city and outskirts were full of activity and life.
Mr. Post, I'm only thinking of the welfare of my patient. It would be better for Judith if you didn't go in now.
You said sometime this afternoon.
We told her about her parents. You must understand that after hearing that, she's not able to talk to anybody about where she's going after she leaves here. She's more than $1 million. She's only a baby.
I resent that remark, Doctor.
I'm sorry it slipped out.
I have every right to feel a sense of responsibility towards Judith.
Yes.
Well, Bruce. Hello.
Hello, Clara. Terribly sorry about what happened.
I am too, Bruce. How is Judith, Dr. Rudolph?
About the same, improving.
Have you seen her, Bruce?
Not yet.
She's coming to live with me, you know.
No, I didn't.
I have some calls to make, so if you'll pardon me...
Of course, Doctor.
Feel free to stay as long as you like.
Yes, thank you, Doctor.
Well, Bruce?
Well, what?
You know the place for Judith is in my home.
I'm not so sure of that. You're traveling around all the time. How's she going to get her schooling?
I don't have to travel. And I'll take her with me in the summer.
No, you couldn't stay in one place for 2 months, and you know it. What do you want to do? Turn her over to some nursemaid and travel on her money?
No matter what nasty things you say, I'm the proper person to take her. And I've already started legal action.
So have I.
You won't get any place with it.
How do you know that?
Because she's a girl, and I'm a woman, and the sister of the man who built up the estate.
Well, I'm sure the judges will be smart enough not to pay any attention to that. You're talking in personalities.
What is it? What's happening?
It's an earthquake.
Well, it's all over now.
And you weren't afraid, were you?
Yes. I was all alone.
Well, you aren't alone now. I don't think it was strong enough to cause any damage to you, Rudy.
I'm sure nothing major.
What was it? The atom bomb?
Oh, of course not, Judith. It was an earthquake. A little one.
Are you all right now, young lady?
No. I want Barbara to stay with me.
Well, just for a little while. We've got other patients we should visit, too.
I'd better go check the lab and x-ray and see if anything...
It's coming back!
It's all right.
What is termed the principal portion of the shock occurred at 3:43 and 41 seconds p.m. The earth movement continued for 1 minute and 7 seconds. A wave of buckling earth ran the length of the main business streets. Storefronts crumbled onto the pavement and crushed automobiles. Casualties were highest in this area. On Carroll Road, a dwelling was twisted 21 degrees on its foundation, but was left largely undamaged. Its occupants unharmed. The new pavement on Carroll Road raised in huge ripples and cracks. In the oil field over the epicenter, where the earth movement was most extreme, steam spit into the air from broken pipes and crude oil flooded the area. Derricks collapsed, shorting out electrical systems, which in turn set the flooding oil ablaze. Central Hospital sustained minor damage and no casualties. And soon after, the earth had stopped quaking. Its personnel was administering to the injured. All through that evening and night, the sirens whined in the darkened city and the task of digging out was started. The attention of all the citizens was still caught in the catastrophe. After a week, Rubble still lay before frontless buildings, but personal problems were back to normal. And in the emergency office of Mr. Lester, the attorney, the fight for control of a little girl's fortune was taken up again.
I have some news for you, Mrs. March. In spite of the confusion we've had hereabouts...
Yes, we certainly have had that.
Well, the initial papers are now in order. You're to meet with Judge Ryder this afternoon, if possible.
Oh, yes, of course I can.
There's one other thing. Mr. Post's papers are in order, too. So he'll meet with the judge at the same time.
Oh. Well, if that's the way he wants it, it's all right with me. I say get things into the open and fight them out.
Good, Mrs. Marks. I'll arrange it for about 3.
You both understand that this first informal meeting is merely exploratory and that no decision will be reached?
Yes, Your Honor.
This court is interested only in the welfare of the child whose custody both of you seek. Do both of you have the monetary means to support her and see that she receives proper education and other advantages?
Well, I don't have any worry about that.
I hardly think it's anything to concern us in the case of Judith. I think the important
thing... I beg your pardon, Mrs. Marks. Monetary support is of the greatest importance.
But...
The child no longer has an estate. The oil holdings are now worthless.
What do you say?
Government and oil company geologists have made extensive studies of the entire oil field. Each well would have to be re-drilled and 90% of the equipment replaced. No one will finance this because similar earthquakes in this area are quite possible within 25, 50, or 100 years. No investor will face the financial risk.
She has nothing?
Only a section of worthless oil-soaked ground.
Well, this is something I'd like to discuss with my attorney.
I wondered if it wouldn't be. Mr. Post.
Yes. Well, to tell you the truth, Your Honor, I had almost made up my mind a while back that I was hardly a fit person to take care of Judith.
Oh, now, Bruce... Judith.
You said you'd come to see me before, and you didn't.
Well, I was busy. And we were talking about you.
Who was? Aunt Clara or Uncle Bruce?
Mm-mm. Dr. Rudolph and me. Judith, you don't have to live with your uncle or your aunt.
I don't? I can stay here with you and the doctor?
I think that could be worked out. If it's what you want.
Oh, I like that. Then I could grow up to be a nurse like you. Where are you going?
I'll be back for you. Rudy.
What's the matter?
She'd like to. She wants to live with us. We could adopt her.
Well, I guess with all of us living together, the question of marriage is settled, isn't it?
Oh, darling. That's the most beautiful proposal I've ever had in my life.
The end of another day in Anderson, California. Population approximately 20,000. Location, a hot valley some 130 miles inland from the Pacific.
Romance is produced and directed in Hollywood by Anthony Ellis. Today's story was written by Gil Dowd and featured Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, and Stacey Harris in Earthquake. Others in the cast were Don Bender, Lawrence Dobkin, Ann Morrison, Forrest Lewis, and Herb Butterfield. Musical supervision by Jerry Goldsmith. This is Dan Cubberly inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. One would think that anyone clever enough to figure out a slick racket would be smart enough to realize that sooner or later the law would catch up with him. But some people just don't seem to be able to use their imaginations for constructive purposes. At least that's the case with the characters who are surprised to find the FBI in Peace and War hot on their trail tomorrow. For action and excitement, Don't miss the next thrilling episode of the FBI in Peace and War when it comes your way on most of these same stations tomorrow. Stay tuned for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately.